Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And I want to share for a few moments on, are you desperate for a spiritual breakthrough? Are you desperate for a spiritual breakthrough? Father, I just pray this morning that you would bring revelation to us. Lord, we can't understand the Bible except by the Holy Spirit. And so we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to show us the truth of your word this morning. And Lord, I just pray that our eyes would be opened, that we would fully comprehend and understand everything that you have for us as believers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 23. During those many days, the king of Egypt died. That's it. How many know we're all going to die? Unless the rapture happens, we're going to die. Amen, we can all go home. No, there's more to it than that. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. The Israelites were in Egypt under bondage. But that's not how God wanted them to live. And this morning, God has brought us into not the old covenant, but he's brought us into the new covenant. And part of that new covenant states that we as believers should not be in bondage. Can somebody say amen this morning? Amen. And I believe there's a lot of Christians, believers, followers of Christ, that are groaning because of the work of the enemy in their lives. But I believe it's not God's will. Can I say it very clearly? It is not God's will for us to be constantly oppressed and living in bondage to Satan. I want to declare that this morning. Some people think that that's their thorn in the flesh. Whatever bondage they're under, that's their thorn in the flesh. That is not true. And I think a lot of Christians have accepted their bondage. They've made it a part of their life. But I want to tell you this morning, and I'm not speaking to your mind today. I'm speaking to your spirit. That it's not God's will for you to be under bondage to Satan. Amen. Some people can't even come out of their house because they're afraid of crowds. Lord's desire is that we live in victory. Can I say it again? It's the Lord's desire that we live in victory. The Bible calls us overcomers. The Bible declares that we are overcomers. Amen. The Bible calls us conquerors. Isn't that what the Bible says? So if the Bible says that's who we are, then it means that that's how we ought to live. As overcomers, as conquerors. Actually, the Bible says we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It's not going to be up there. So you have to look it up in your Bible. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, I don't see how much clearer that can be. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin should not be controlling you. The Bible says we're the head and not the tail. I mean, I have a dog. And when that dog's happy, its tail moves. Somehow, that little dog is so happy that in its head, it wags its tail. But I wonder if that tail ever wags without the dog knowing. The Bible says we are the head and we are not the tail. By the Holy Spirit, we should be in control of our lives. By the help of the Holy Spirit. 'For you are not under the law, but under grace. Let me mention a few things that I think a lot of Christians are in bondage to, and God wants to free you through the truth this morning. Through the power of the truth of His Word, God wants to free you. Fear. There are Christians in bondage to fear. They fear the past, they fear the present, and they fear the future. Now, we're all human, I think. And there's always moments that we can feel a little fearful. But when you're under bondage to fear, you have no choice. It controls you. It controls your movements. It controls how you think. It controls how you see life. That is not the will of God for you. I declare that, not to your mind, but I declare it to your spirit, that is not the will of God for you. Now, there's a lot of this worm theology out there. You say, what's worm theology? Worm theology says, you know, I'm just suffering and I'm bound to a lot of things, but I'm just hoping that one day, you know, I'll get free and I'm just, you know, I'm trying my best. Anxiety is another one. There's a lot of Christians bound by anxiety. They're anxious about everything. They're anxious about their bills. They're anxious about the past. They're anxious about the present. They can't sleep at night. They're anxious about all kinds of things. And you know, friends, we inadvertently accept these things. We go on day by day accepting these things. But it's not the will of God. Are you hearing me? Yeah. That's not how God wants you to live. I've got hope for you this morning. I've got a message of hope for you this morning. That is not how God wants you to live. Amen. Now we all feel anxiety once in a while. Right? That's normal. But being in bondage to anxiety means I no longer have control over it. I'm anxious. Sometimes for no reason. Anxiety has a hold over me. And I want to declare this morning that is not the will of God for you. Anger. Here's another one. Anger. Somebody that just can't help but blow their top. Their head explodes. They're headless. They have to keep getting a new head. Because then that last one exploded. Now, we all get angry, don't we? Come on, we all get angry. How many sometimes get angry? Come on, be honest. Oh, I got my hands. I'm looking at it. But when we're controlled by it, when it begins to force us to do things that we don't want to do, sadness. Here's another one, sadness. How about lust? Someone said there's three stages to marriage. Lust, rust, dust.
Struggling yourself.
Yep.
1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm believing for a new breed of Christian. A new breed of Christian that just doesn't come to church and goes home and says, well, that's it, I put in my time. No, someone that is lifted into a new realm in the Spirit. That's walking with God in victory. Hallelujah. Not someone that says, man, if I can just make it till next Sunday, that's a miracle. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yeah.
For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith in God. Hallelujah. Our faith in Jesus. Our faith in the blood. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to live a mediocre life and just make it from point A to point B, I remember one time I was watching some movie and these two comedians were in a car and it was all blown up. It was fried. And they had no doors and they had no hood. It was all burnt up. And they were driving along the highway and smoke was pouring out of the car. And so they hear the sirens, and the police pull them over. And the policeman walks up to the car with no doors, no hood, all burnt up, smoke coming out of the back. And he says to the driver, he says, "What is this?" And the driver says, "It's not much, but it gets me from point A to point B. It's not much, but it gets me from point A to point B." And I think that's how some of our lives are. We're driving along the spiritual highway. We got no hood. We've got no doors. Smoke pouring out of the back. And we just say, you know what? Well, I don't know. It just gets me from point A to point B. How many know that's not how God wants us to travel? He's given us a Holy Ghost limousine. Hallelujah. With full power. Hallelujah. Instead of focusing on our problems and struggles, let's center in on the one who has brought us the victory through his shed blood. Hallelujah. There's a few things we need to remember. And it's not that old car. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Amen. Somebody give God praise this morning. He who has begun the work in you will complete it. I like the word work. I've heard someone say, "Sister so-and-so, she's a piece of work."
Well, she is. And so am I. We're all a work. Don't get religious on me now this morning.
He begun the work, and he said he's going to complete the work.
Amen.
I don't care what the devil says.
Amen.
Jesus began the work, and he's going to complete the work.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. People might give up on you. Churches might give up on you, but Jesus said he's not going to give up working in your life.
I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but growing up in the Pentecostal church, we used to call the Holy Ghost the Holy Hound of Heaven. The Holy Hound of Heaven. Now, I've had a hound dog. And I used to sing to it, "You're nothing but a hound dog." And that hound dog could sniff out anything. My kids used to take something and go into the forest and hide it and come back. And that dog, we would release the dog, and it wasn't too much time, and that dog would find that article.
God doesn't give up on us.
Amen.
He keeps coming after us with all the force of heaven to persuade you to serve him, to walk with him, hallelujah, to call upon his name.
You're here this morning because God never gave up on you.
Amen.
You're here this morning. Yes, people prayed for you. Yes, the church prayed for you. But there's a greater truth than that. It's the fact that God never gave up on you. And he keeps working on you and perfecting your faith till it's finished.
Joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Second thing to remember is we have the victory over sin and Satan through the blood of Jesus. A lot of churches have taken down the crosses, took the blood out of the songs. Now we don't know if they're singing about their girlfriend or they're singing about Jesus. It's called mainstreaming. They write songs so that they can sing them in the Christian world and they can sing them in the secular world. But friends, our songs need to have
the blood in them. Are you hearing me? Our songs need to have the blood of Jesus.
Because without the blood, we have no salvation. Without the blood, we have no victory over sin and Satan. Without the blood, we cannot have the victory. Because Jesus accomplished that at Calvary, and he says, here's my victory. I give it to you. All that it entails, every healing, everything that you need flows from the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Wow. If there's ever a forgiven people, it's the people of the Lord through the blood of Jesus. By canceling the record of debt. The devil hates this. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He stood in our place. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And I like the next part. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's not talking about earthly rulers and earthly authorities. It's talking about demonic, satanic authorities and rulers. He disarmed them. We now have the upper hand on the devil. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. We have the upper hand on Satan. And it doesn't matter how much he roars. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world.
Amen.
He disarmed the rulers and authorities. Where'd my weapon go? Satan says, where did that advantage go that I had over mankind? Who are these believers? Who are these Christians? They've been bought with the blood. Disarmed means that someone had something and now it's been taken away. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Disarmed. Think about it this morning. Jesus disarmed Satan.
Amen.
So what he has against you is only lies. You have the victory over him. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Reject the lies and you have the victory. Someone said this week, came into the office and said, why does he wave his hands around so much? I don't know, I'm just excited. Man, if you can't get excited about the word, what can you get excited about?
Toronto last night when the Raptors won. Screaming and yelling. I was a little happy. But friends, there's something that makes me happier than someone going to the NBA Finals. And it's Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah. And he didn't just disarm them, folks. The Bible says he put them to an open shame. He made them like nothing. They thought they had Jesus on that cross. But he triumphed over them in the name of Jesus. Friends, the blood is so powerful that if you believe in what Jesus did on the cross, it can dismantle anxiety. It can destroy fear. Come on, somebody. It can overcome lust. It can dismantle the works of the enemy and the works of the flesh in our lives. That's why, and I'm closing, that's why Satan hates the blood. And he doesn't want the blood preached. And he doesn't want the blood talked about. And he doesn't want the blood shared. And we've taken it all away. But God says, bring back the blood. Hallelujah. The blood-stained banner of the cross. What can wash away my sins?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory in the blood. Glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be healed, it's going to be because of the blood. If you're freed today, it's going to be because of the blood. Let's bow our heads this morning.